gives me that sense of belonging. And I never, a lot of times I didn't feel that sense of belonging, particularly when I first came into this world and throughout my early life. Let me just tell you first what it was like. I'm the youngest of seven children, originally from the Midwest, born in St. Louis, Missouri. I was burst onto the scene at the tail end of my parents' marriage, and it was ending. And I thought, wow, you know, the attention's going to be on me, you know, and here's, I'm this special kid, you know. So I kind of, I thought I was like, you know, bringing smiles to people's faces early on, and which is the truth. However, you know, you hear about this disease of perception, and that alcoholism is. You hear that around the tables, and I pretty much had a, my perception was jaded from the get-go. I mean, I thought that there was something, you know, something missing. Like I didn't want to. I just wanted to like jump out of my skin, you know, at a very, you know, when I was a young kid, and I just felt different. You know, I had that inferiority complex, and it kind of, that complex really came about during my adolescent years. It, you know, really came to the forefront, and you know, being really, really scared to talk to girls, and I mean, that was, oh man, did that, and it just brought up a lot of anxiety, and my father, and it was brought to my attention that my father was a, you know, he moved back to the East Coast where he originally hailed from, and he never, you know, he was a bleeding alcoholic. I mean, never a wetback, never made it to the tables of AA, and unfortunately he died. He died an alcoholic. But so with that in my gene pool, I kind of had, you know, I had that going against me. Little did I know that, so I discovered alcohol in eighth grade. I think it was like scotch or something. I was at an eighth grade party, and I'm like, God, this tastes bad. And you know, you hear in the, you know, it tells you in the book, you know, we didn't drink for the taste, we drank for the effect. So I didn't really get into the effect of drinking until in high school, and to deal with you know, some social, I believe some, you know, social anxieties, you know, low self-esteem, that sort of thing. So my drinking career wasn't that long. I mean, it started, you know, I drank that one time, I think in eighth grade, and then picked up again my sophomore year, and it lasted until I was like 25. But between those years, I mean, I was a blackout drinker, and I, you know, usually, like, you know, I was pretty much the way the book tells it, you know, about the spree, you know, with the third drink, but I always had that like sense of ease and comfort with the first and second drink, and I'm just like, all right, let's do one more. You know, and then the third drink, I'm like, and then once I had the third drink, I was like, you know, why stop now? You know, so and 95% of the time, it was my drinking. You know, why stop now? It led to oblivion. You know, And you know, it was fun at first. You know, the three stages of alcoholism: fun with problems, and just problems. Is it? So I could resonate with that. I heard that early on in sobriety, and I resonate with that. I lost my train of thought. I'm a little nervous. That's okay. So I told you about the sprees. I started having negative outcomes, and I ended up, going off to college and had all this independence, and that's really when my disease really escalated. Got about 3 minutes, right? 3 or 4 minutes. My college years weren't the greatest, even though, you know, I was that overachiever, you know, really trying to prove myself externally that I was a happy person and that I was a happy person to the outside world. Somebody did tell me about AA back in college, and I did go to a couple of AA meetings, but that was the last place I wanted to be. And I just wasn't done. And so a couple more years later, with the disease progressing and sick and tired of being sick and tired, somebody told me about an AA, a person that I was working with back in St. Louis at a restaurant. You know, I was parking cars, and, you know, he's like, you know, come to me, come with me, you know. And I, at that time, I was looking for answers, solutions to my life, you know, spiritual solutions. And the last thing on my mind was AA at that time. And so I feel like, you know, God works through others. God was working through that man. So I ended up going to my second venture into AA. I went back to an AA meeting on a Friday night, and that was, you know, I was like, what, Friday night going to an AA meeting? Come on, you know. And I went to a men's meeting down in a basement of an Al-Anon club, a Lano club, called the Lino Club, back in St. Louis, and started working the steps, started working the program, got a sponsor, you know. But I've always kind of like had, so my sobriety is April 17th, 1995, and I've always kind of had, I'd say like the first 13 years of sobriety, I've kind of had one foot in and one foot out of the program. Even though I've been sober, and I've met a really great sponsor. I've been here in San Diego for 5 years, and I got my current sponsor. I've been with him for a year and a half, and I have a lot of gratitude that he's in my life, and he's teaching me a lot about humility and getting out of yourself, reaching out your hand to newcomers. So, anyhow, I guess that is that the 10-minute warning? The beep? Okay, alrighty. So I'm just, it wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be, so thank you. So I think